Good morning and welcome to episode 3 of our monthly live Q&A session with Cinton's family team. I'm David Pritchard, Head of Marketing at Cinton's. Just a quick reminder for me, these sessions have come about due to the volume of questions we received for our live Q&A session during the recent Good Divorce Week. We weren't able to answer anywhere near the amount of questions we received, so we thought running these sessions would be a great idea moving forward. And as I mentioned in the previous two episodes, we're going to be running them at 10 a.m. on the third Friday of each month live on Teams. So with that said, the family team are going to be answering 3 questions today. Our speaker is Sophie Dodds, who is a solicitor in the family team. So without any further ado, I'm going to pass you straight over to Sophie. Sophie, good morning and over to you.
Thank you for joining me for the third episode of the Family Law Q&A. So I have another 3 of your questions to answer today, which I'll take in turn. So the first is, how do I stop my ex having access to the children? So the Children Act 1989 states that unless the contrary is shown, the involvement of both parents in the life of the child concerned will further the child's welfare. Therefore, contact with either parent should not be prevented unless there are safeguarding concerns. This could include abuse, whether physical, emotional, or psychological, drug or substance abuse, or child abduction. Where there are safeguarding concerns, you have a duty as a parent to protect your child from any risk factors and can suspend contact with the other parent where it is reasonable to do so if there are those safeguarding factors in place. If the risk factor is particularly high, it may be necessary to make a referral to children's services where a social worker can investigate the matter and advise whether that parent should continue having contact with the child. You can be penalized if you fail to protect your child from any safeguarding risks. So it's very important that if you do have these severe concerns, that you make the referral to your local authority. The second question is, can my marriage be annulled if it is under 1 year? So there is a statutory bar at the moment that if you are married and you have only been married for 1 year or less, then you cannot apply for a divorce until you have been married for at least 1 year. So the question here is whether a marriage can be annulled if it is less than that 1 year period. So the two things that you can do if you are under 1 year of marriage is apply for a decree of legal separation or apply for a decree of nullity where applicable. So today we're going to focus on a decree of nullity, which is also known as an annulment. A decree of nullity is a legal statement asserting that a marriage was never valid. This is available in circumstances where a marriage is void or voidable. So examples of a void marriage are if one party is under 16, one party was already married, or the parties are closely related. A voidable marriage can be annulled if the marriage has not been consummated, one party did not properly consent to the marriage, one party was pregnant by someone else at the time that you got married, and if one spouse is in the process of transitioning to a different gender. So the third question today is a difficult one, and it is, how long does the divorce process take? So a lot of the time this can be, how long is a piece of string, as there are a variety of factors that can impact on this, but I will give you some general guidelines as to how long the divorce process should take. So this often does depend on the court's capacity to deal with divorces and how quickly the applications can be approved by a judge. So the process is now online, which has decreased the time scale considerably. And from the divorce application to the decree absolute, which is the decree that finalizes the divorce, this can be around 3 months. It is necessary to resolve the financial and property matters on divorce. And if this is necessary in your particular case, then this can delay the process by 6 months to even 2 to 3 years. This is because it is not advised to apply for the decree absolute, which is the one to finalize the divorce, until the financial matters and property matters have been resolved. It is important to note that once no-fault divorce takes effect in April 2022, there will be a set timetable for the divorce process, and this is 6 months. So there will be a 20-week period up until the conditional order, which is currently known as the decree nisi and the first stage of the divorce. And then there will be 6 weeks between the conditional order and the final order, which is currently known as the decree absolute. And this is what finalizes the divorce. This 6-week period is a cooling off period to make sure that both parties definitely want to get this divorce and they haven't changed their minds or reconciled in that time. So thank you for joining me today on this third Q&A, and I look forward to seeing you next month for the fourth edition. Thank you.
Thanks, Sophie. Very quickly for me, just to wrap things up, we are continuing to work hard to produce and deliver useful and relevant content, articles, blogs, podcasts, videos, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes all episodes of our monthly live Q&A session. And you can also follow the family team on Twitter if you wish at Sintons Family. If you'd like to discuss anything that Sophie's raised any further, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Sophie can be contacted via telephone 0191-226-7878 or via email sophie.dodds@sintons.co.uk. Our next session will be with you Friday the 18th of March at 10 a.m. and as usual I'll send you the link to join nearer the time. So all that's left to say is from Sophie and myself, thank you very much for listening. Stay safe, everyone, and we will speak to you in March. Thank you.